Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. What's going on with you?
Not much. Just, you know, approaching the end of the week, which is always exciting. If you are new to these parts, we've got a Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, where we have bonus episodes, newsletter, ad-free listening, video. It's all there. It's a whole world. So come join us over there. Today we are we're going across the pond over to London. Laser London is, we don't know if that's ever going to come back to us. We were given a gift with that show, and I think there was such an uproar about it being put on pause that Bravo was like, shit, we got to fix something. So they have thankfully given us Real Housewives of London. Now, it does not make up for the fact that Ladies of London is on pause, and we should have everything good, including Ladies of London and Real Housewives of London. But in the meantime, I'm very happy that we have Real Housewives of London. And so we are here to recap the second episode of the season. What say you, Ronnie Karam?
Yeah, well, we did the first episode back when it came out originally on Hey You. And that was, 10 years ago. When did this come out?
I think it was last summer.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think it was last summer.
That's, I age like a dog. So 7 years ago. And it was so funny. And we said, well, okay, we won't recap this unless it comes out on Bravo because, you know, most of our audience is a U.S. audience. And then it came to Bravo. I'm so excited. And it was so nice to finally see the second episode because the first one really stuck with me for so long that the first fight was about a child's dentist.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. The first episode was so good, but we had this weird feeling that it might come to Bravo. And I'm glad we held out for it because we thought a few times, like, maybe we should recap the whole show anyway and just put on the bonus, you know, like make it a Patreon exclusive. And we're like, you know what? We just think it might come to Bravo. And a year later, it has. Now the next step is for Bravo to bring back Real Housewives of Melbourne. I don't care if the season 4 happened many years ago. What?
Wait, yeah. Oh, you mean Bravo bring it back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, show I heard the that seasons. Melbourne got renewed with only Gina as the OG returning.
Wow. So
they're going to do a new Melbourne. But yeah, we haven't watched it since 3?
Since 3. We watched the first 3 seasons. So yeah. I would love for that to come back as well. But anyway, enough about that.
That was a good one. That's one of the all-time Housewives greats, Melbourne.
Yeah, it was great.
That's a good show.
Yeah, I think Bravo owes us that. Let's get back into it. Episode 1, we dropped on our feed last week, so it's there. So go listen if you want to.
Yeah. Also, the return of London also brought us the return of Trixie Monocle and Three Arm Octopus, our favorite band who creates music for these shows. She is back in full force. I mean, some of these songs she has on this show are so good. One of them was like, gas in a car, cars go vroom because there's gas in them. It's like, what the fuck is this song? What is it?
She's inspired by everyday life. She's of the people.
Look, the light says stop, so I stop my car. And then the light says green, and I move my car. It's a stop light.
Paul, there's a pigeon on that bench. Quick, get me a pen. I've got inspiration. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pigeon on a bench. Pigeon on a bench. She's a boss bitch pigeon because she's a pigeon on a bench. The other pigeon's on the sidewalk. She's on a bench.
Okay, why are you sitting down, pigeon? So his season 1, episode 2, Betrayals and Body Tapping.
Yeah. So we start off at the park, and Juliet is with her husband, Tiggy, and Portia, the dog. And she just got into a fight with Panthea about dentistry and borrowing clothes at What's-Her-Face's Women of the Year or International Women's Day. And so she's just sort of, you know, Juliet's wandering along, and then it's like, we lost our dog. And then we go over to Panthea's house, and Panthea is scolding her housekeeper for putting out extra plates for her mom, which is always great. We always love when the housewives scold their help, and you just see the help just looking like, I will get my revenge someday. Someday it will happen.
Yes, this lady hates Panthea. And I don't blame her. Panthea is a lot. She is a lot.
She is awful.
She's like, oh, why are you putting out these plates for mom? Mom doesn't need these plates. These, my friend stole these when she went to the king, queen's castle, and she stole these plates, and she got six. I stole six from her. Like, wow. They all brag about knowing the king or, like, being in proximity to the king, and it really cracks me up. Like, your friend went to a party at the castle, stole plates, and then you stole plates from your friend. Why are you bragging about that? That is so, yeah. You are so tacky. I'm embarrassed for you.
Panthea is like wealthy, but she tries to act like a lady of wealth, but she is not. And she is really, really tacky. And she's like abrasive in a way that's great for reality TV. And what's fun on a London show is that you see all the other women just absolutely disgusted by her. But what's so interesting about this show is that Juliet Angus from Ladies of London, the original, will be a cast member on it. She's on the ensemble. She's on the title card, but we haven't actually met her on the show yet. And Juliet Angus usually fills this role. So I don't know how, I'm so interested to see how this show is basically going to be with two Juliet Anguses on it. It's going to be kind of a nightmare.
Lady named Juliet as well. Yeah. So there's two literal Juliets and then another person that acts just like Juliet. So yeah. I thought that was interesting too, because she even looks similar to Juliet.
She does a little bit, like with a little Eva Longoria mixed in too. So Panthea's
mom. She's obnoxious
mom,
as hell. Oh my God. She's awful. And she's got theater kid energy. Like, she's really coming on like, look at me, I'm on a television show.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of that on most of the cast, I think, because they are new, you know, and they're really just giving it their all. But she's especially like, girl,
she's annoying.
I'm expecting her to whip out some tap moves or something. She's a lot.
She's really annoying. And honestly, I'm going to say this. I think her mom is annoying. I think she and her mom had a conversation beforehand about like what sort of scene they're going to do, because her mom, Shala, arrives and Shala is already doing like bad improv. She's like, what? You dress crazy. This is crazy. You put on eyelashes? Why do you have eyelashes on? Whoa, this is crazy. I'm outrageous, aren't I? What, this kitchen? Look at this kitchen. What are you doing in this kitchen? I was like, okay. You want to have a little bit of a scene. This happens once in a while where like moms come on and they try to make a splash. You're like, okay. All right, Shala. Yeah. Thank you. Take a seat.
She's like hypercritical a la MJ's mom, which I kind of do like. She's like a higher energy version though, where she's like, oh, yeah. What is this? Eyelashes? Everything on you is fake. It's like dull, nothing like a human being. It's like, my mom's not just a mom. She's a glamour.
My mother is larger than life. My mother's very up and down. But then again, I'm very up and down too. So glamour, she's like, well, next time I'm going to bring a knife because this knife is so dull, crazy. I'm going to bring a knife. And so anyway, Panthea tells us that ever since a young age, probably about 8 or 9, my mother made me stop calling her mummy or mum because she didn't want people to know that she was old enough to have a daughter. And I always thought I always had to call her Shala June. So Shala is her name and June means darling or dear. And it wasn't a nice feeling at 9 to not be able to call your mum mummy or mum. But I guess I just got used to it.
Yeah, she tells us about her kids. She's got 3 kids. One's going to boarding school, and it's the same boarding school that the princes went. Prince William and Prince Harry. The royals have been to the same school. I have Sienna. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when she said that, I was like, oh, don't tell Caroline Stanbury. She's gonna roll out her, I was sent to boarding school too young. And then lo and behold, Caroline Stanbury shows up later in the episode. I was like, I should have known that this was going to cause her to pop up on the TV.
It's a trauma that a lot of them have, I guess, because they all send their kids to boarding school. This one's got 3 kids, and the first one, boarding school, Sienna, who's a weekly boarder, so she only goes to boarding school through Monday through Friday, and then Coco, who's the baby, who's now 8, who will be going to boarding school, she has 1 year, I guess, so a lot of boarding school.
That's a lot. So Panthea says, I have my girls home every weekend and my son home every other weekend. And my eldest son from my first marriage. So she has a son, 29, who's in America, and she sees him only about twice a year. And she goes, for me, it's all about quality time rather than quantity time. She's like, meaning I will see you for about 6 hours on a weekend, child, and then you go away again and I can go back to flittering about.
Yeah, she spent most of the first episode in bed. Like, fully glammed out, of course. But, you know, being like, I don't do anything. Isn't that hilarious? And so they're talking about boarding school and stuff and how at least they come home on the weekends. And why don't you come see a mom? And the mom's like, oh, please, I have things to do on my weekend. Other than see children, I'm a glamour.
I do wild and crazy things. So Panthea says, is my mom maternal? Not really. I remember once she called me up and it was my birthday and she called to talk about something. And then 2 hours later, she called something else. And then 3 hours later, she called for something else. I said, mother, at one point, are you going to say happy birthday? And she said, yeah, so I'm the one that gave birth to you. What did you do? Aren't I outrageous?
That's kind of a good point, actually. I'm surprised more parents don't make that. Like, why am I buying you something on your birthday? I gave you life.
Isn't that what Wendy's mom said? Something to that effect? Like, it was at the kids' graduation party. She's like, why are you celebrating them? I was the one who created these children.
So they tell Shala June that Sienna made nationals for cross country. And she's like, so who cares? I was champion at table tennis. There we go. There we have it. She's officially Vita.
She is new Vita. So then Coco's like, did Shala ever congratulate you? And Panthea's like, never. She never congratulated me. And she's like, what? And she's like, she never even came to my school plays. Why do you think I come to all of your school plays? And Shala's like, no, I'm not the type. I'm not going to waste my time. Why would I go see some awful 7-year-old doing falsettos? Boring.
Falsettos. I love that that's the play at the boarding school. They're like, you know what we really need to do? A 3-part musical comedy saga about AIDS.
Okay. There's been a terrible mistake. We thought it was about teaching AIDS. So
we just cut out all of the AIDS parts.
We just had it end after Act 2. We showed a little squash scene and then we just ended it.
It's now about the common cold. All right. It's child friendly. 5 Jews in a room washing their hands. Sorry, that's a very
for people who don't know falsetto, they're gonna be musical. Like, what are these guys talking about?
Okay. So then we go to the London Book Fair and Nessie, who is our probably most uptight, polite housewife, she's like, the London Book Fair is the most important book fair in the entire world. It's for literary geniuses, which is why I'm proud to announce my book, Cooking with Dinosaurs.
They say that Shakespeare himself once reincarnated as a ghost and came to this fair just to release a new play, but it was in ghost form, so no one actually read it. But they say it's around here somewhere. Anyway, dinosaur cooking. Please enjoy.
You understand that dinosaurs, they didn't have fire yet, right? Like, they couldn't.
No.
I mean, I guess this is supposed to be more fun for children, but
I think it's how to cook dinosaur. Sense. I think it's how to cook dinosaurs.
Okay, then I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they'll be back one of these days. You know, Jurassic Park, that gave us the roadmap. And eventually we'll have brontosauruses roaming around, and then once we have the brontosauruses, then they'll be harvested for meat. You know how it goes. It'll be great.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah. At least for those of us who believe in dinosaurs, unlike, wasn't there someone on Bravo who didn't believe in dinosaurs? Someone that we liked? They were like, wait a second.
Yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of people on Bravo who do not believe in dinosaurs. You know,
I don't remember who it was.
Bravo's not a channel you want to say, like, do you believe the Earth is round? Because you really just don't know the answers you're going to get.
It was someone really, it was like someone, it was that girl from Vanderpump Rules. It was the blonde girl, Audrey.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought that someone from Vanderpump Rules would question science? So Nessie is really excited. She's, you know, cause she says that aside from her cake company, she also has Cooking with Kids. And she's like, that's my social media channel. The children were fully integrated into the process of this. They were ground up and turned into pages. So no recipe has made it into the book without their say so, which is why we have a recipe called Stupid Dinosaur, I Hate You. And it's just peanut butter that you throw at a wall. What can I say? It's a kid's recipe.
I do not want to eat your kid's cooking. That's period. I'm going to say that. Although I do like Nessie, I'm just, this is crazy. So she's meeting with her book person who has brought her the first copy of her book. So she's like, I'm going to cry just looking at it. Hold on. Something's about to come out. Am I crying? Do you see tears? No? Hold on. I'm feeling so many things. Guys, there is something wacky happening. Somebody is walking through here in a dinosaur costume. Who could that be?
It's Juliet. And Juliet is like, boo, boo, guess what? Your favorite Australian actress is here to be entertaining for you. So she's here. Juliet, her whole thing was about, I remember in the first episode, I'm so sorry, everyone, because we watched the episode like a year ago. Her whole thing was that like, there's something with Shakespeare with her, wasn't there? Like they named their daughter Ophelia. Her name is Juliet. They're like obsessed with.
Yeah, she names all of her children and pets after Shakespeare.
Right?
Characters.
And yeah. those characters always end up so in such good places by the end of the plays. You know, Ophelia, love her journey. Juliet herself, I mean, really came out on top. Love to see what happened with Othello. You know, Richard III, he really, happily ever after. That's just what, these are the things I associate with all these people.
Yeah. Yeah. All signs of good luck, for sure.
Yeah.
Juliet's the one that is being accused of, she's been accused of being fake, that she's fake. And she is very like, hello, it's me dressed like a dinosaur. Oh God, isn't this wacky and hilarious? You have a book? That is fascinating. Can't wait to talk to you about. I'm so excited for your book, Nessie. So anyway, last part of that woman was a real bitch to me, say.
God, I mean, it's just so horrifying that anyone who would be at a higher rung of British society would be fake. I mean, of all places, there's nothing sacred anymore.
Yeah. And Nessie can be pretty fake. They're all pretty fake on this show because they're, you know, like you said, it's polite society. And Nessie's like, this is fascinating to discuss. It's my first dinosaur book has been printed. Please do go on, Juliet.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more point about the fakeness. It does call back to like Mark Francis on Ladies of London, who is of the mindset that like, yeah, being fake is actually great. Like it's totally like an American thing to be like, you are acting so fake. And he's like, well, why wouldn't I? I think it's actually so lovely to be fake.
Yeah.
So it's funny that Panthea.
So she is just also shocked because Panthea came to Women's Day and just attacked her and, you know, accused her of not appreciating the child's dentist and then taking the child's dentist's side when there was a problem. And Juliet's like, but darling, I mean, this was 6 years ago. Can you believe it? She's coming in with something 6 years ago. 6 years ago? That dentist shit is 6 years old.
I did not realize that at the time. That is really desperate. Panthea is desperate to be a reality star. It's just, I think that's why I really am not into her, because she just is not effortless like my favorite ones.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go back to Panthea's house, and she's talking to her husband, Ed, who looks horrified to be on camera and maybe even horrified to be seen with his wife. And she's like, well, I told you about the Juliet situation. She's like, oh, yes. How are you feeling about the aftermath? Oh, well, look, I feel like she's fake. She is fake, Ed. Come on. She sees me at other parties. She ignores me. She cuts me out of her pictures. And then now she sees me at Amanda's. And it's literally like, darling, you look so beautiful. Miss you. How have you been? And I was like, oh, my God. Where did this even come from? It was literally like that, Ed.
Yeah, you're pretty fake, though, yourself, my friend. But that is hilarious, the addition of it. She sees me at parties and then she cuts me out of pictures. Yes. Team Juliet so far. Same. So he's like, but you were friends once upon a time. Don't you remember, darling? You did hang out. And she's like, but then she double-crossed me, Ed. Once twitten, once bitten, twice shy. Three times not your dentist. Do you understand that? All right. She lies. She lies about everything. It triggers me, Ed. It triggers me. It triggers me when people lie.
Yes, two things that get you are lying and people pretending to be things that they're not. That's the same thing, Ed. The other thing that triggers me is when people put the same bullet point twice in different wording. I'm so sorry, dear. I'm so sorry. See, I can't bear it. Just own it. Just say it. They're phonies, Ed. Does she? I have a question. When Panthea talks to her husband, does she end every sentence with Ed? Because I feel like that's all she's doing.
I think so. And she's just so intense and emphatic about everything. She's like, come on, Ed. Come on. You know I'm saying the truth, Ed. You know it. Because Ed has that look on his face where he's like, darling, can we just not have a fight in public just for one night, please?
Don't be so daft, Ed. So now we go back to blonde Juliet. And she's like, I would love to get to the depth of what has made her like this. And if I've had any part in triggering that, I will apologize and find out what it is. And Nessie's like, you're so gracious. She's like, just like I am, inviting all those children to cook dinosaurs. It's like, yes, that's right. But she's a little bit of a loose cannon.
Well, listen, Juliet, Karen has invited us all to dinner. How do you feel about coming along to the dinner, even though you know that Panthea will be there?
She's like, listen, I just want it to get resolved. I don't want it to be awkward for anyone involved. Rah! Sorry, just staying method for the children passing by.
If she has any issues, we should discuss it. The problem is Panthea doesn't listen. Panthea speaks to you, and that's definitive. So Nessie says, well, how would you feel about me reaching out to Panthea to try to kind of resolve things? And she's like, listen, any avenue that she's going to be receptive to it, I'm happy. We can go down that route. She's like, well, I will try and dig and find out what's going on. At the very least, we can laugh about her being an insolent pig afterwards. Okay, go for it.
Yeah. So then we go to Amanda's house.
Amanda, glamorous Amanda.
Love Amanda. She's like,
darling, everyone knows who I am. I'm Amanda. I'm a bit of a myth.
Meanwhile, the other ladies are like, yeah, Amanda's always in the papers, but she's clearly calling the papers. You know, yes. She's like clearly calling the gossip vlogs.
It's like, everyone knows who I am. I'm myth Amanda, the only person with a beauty product made in London.
She is so funny. She really is up her own ass. She's like, her whole vibe is hilarious to me. So she's like, I'm still thinking about how Panthea came to my Women's Day event. She came in, touched the joint and left. It was just embarrassing to do that at me, Amanda's house. I thought Julia handled it very well, but honestly, I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to stay out of it because I'm Amanda.
Look, I'm also one of the people. Watch me calling my stepdaughter Sophia. Aren't we just friends? Aren't we just girls? Sophia, tell me about schooling. That's hilarious. Sophia, all of my children tell me, you're hilarious. You are the most hilarious person. They love me. They just call me Cool Mom. The only mom that people want to be around. Me, you know, normal Amanda.
You know, my stepdaughter's 25, and being a young mum, there's not such a massive age gap between us, only about 2 years or so. I had her very young. That's why, if you do the math, you can see that I'm obviously 28 years old. By the way, Amanda is 57, and she's like, there's such a small age gap between me and Sophia at 25. Oh, it's so hard being a young mum, but then at the same time, you can do cool things with each other, like a TikTok, or electric slides.
There's a 22-year gap, in case anybody wasn't doing the math.
I thought her daughter was... Oh, you're right. Well, her daughter
basically
is
basically the same age.
Huh? Her daughter is 20. Her daughter is 28, so that, yeah. It's,
okay.
The point is that 20. She was acting like there's like, you know, she had like the baby math. When... when she was like 15 or
16. Hey, in case anybody else wasn't doing the math out there, they are 76 years apart.
Right. Okay. This is not Gilmore Girls. That's the point. And she's like, being a young, hip, cool mom with a very small age gap. In fact, some would say it's the first time in London that the mother's actually younger than the daughter. It was the craziest bit of science, but it's true. I don't know. I just become a cool mom.
Yeah, it's just very difficult, you know, when you're basically the same age and you're having to say, TikTok, just make sure your penmanship is good on this application you're using.
Sophie and Sophia. Actually, I'm sorry. Sophia and Sophia. One's with PH, one's with an F. Well, they're always like, Mum, you are so funny. It must be because you're the exact same age as us. And I say, it is because of that. Thank you.
Yeah. So she's like, well, you know, I do. It does get quiet on the weekends. You know, Sophia's away. Sophie's away. You're not here. The other Sophie is not here. There's no sort of man around anymore. During my divorce, I didn't see my kids for a while. Yeah. It was a while. I had to win them in the divorce.
Mainly it's because I was like, in the womb. I went back into the womb and lost 10 years. So the age gap is completely reversed. It's incredible what science can do.
You know, I went to first grade. They were in preschool, right? Pre-first. Very, very difficult.
I didn't see my stepdaughters during our divorce, but that's mainly because I was at uni and they were at a different uni. And once we both graduated the exact same year, we were reunited.
But now that we're back, you know, it's just, I'm a person who loves bridges. I love bridges. You know, it's like the phoenix rising from the ashes. God, I love that concept.
I love bridges in Phoenix, Arizona. When I went and visited, I was like, let's just drive over this tiny bridge over and over again. Listen, there's not a bridge I don't love, whether it's Bo, Jeff, or Lloyd. Give me all three.
So then we go over to Karen at the nail salon with her daughters. It's the nail bar, Jolyn and Yovana.
Mm-hmm. So Karen,
she's like besties with her parent, with her kids, but she's like, you know, it's different. I'm different than how I was raised. I'm a very strict background. And with my children, I'm more open. We tell each other everything. We're like sisters sometimes. The last episode, she's like, we're redoing this house. The kids will have their own apartment, self-contained. And she's like, so we're not. Do we get to come into this kitchen? She's like, no, you'll have your own kitchen. You won't need to come here into this house.
We're not going to look at you. So she's talking about how she's strict and everything. And then she finds out that her younger daughter has been dating. And she's like, what? What? You're not allowed to date until you're 16. And by 16, I mean 34. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. She's like, you're not allowed to date till you're 16, madame. So then she's telling us about her fashion line. And she's like, my samples have been approved. My clothes have all been shipped from manufacturers. And now it's just up to me to do social media for my clothing line. And her older daughter is very polite and sweet. But I get a sense that she thinks her mother is obnoxious as hell. Because she's always just like, oh, wow, you've got your clothing line coming out. Wow, what passion. It must be a monumental moment for you, mother.
She's like, it is. She's like, and this is just the beginning. So then we go over to a Pilates studio, and it's Amanda's there and Nessie, and they're going to do Pilates. And then Katie, who's like the friend of, she is actually their Pilates instructor. But they're not just doing Pilates, it turns out. So they're going to be doing something else entirely. It's going to be called Chinese yoga. That's what they call it. But it's actually called is Qigong. And so now we get to see how Katie is going to probably bastardize whatever this is.
Yes.
Whatever.
It's definitely one of those times where you're like, oh God, thank God this show is not an American show. Like, we don't have to, you know, you don't feel that need to be like, oh God, sorry, other countries.
Yeah.
How we're, you know, imitating you over here or whatever. Because she's like, welcome. This is basically Chinese yoga. All right, smack yourselves on the wrist and start going, hee-haw, hee. I was like, oh, no, no.
I was like, what is
this? This is some white lady shit, for sure.
I've seen
tapping, obviously. She's doing basic tapping, but she's added in all these sounds and stuff. And she's like, we must smile big to the heavens and say, whoa, oh, oh, oh. You know, she's making all these noises. I'm like, oh, God.
It's funny because last episode I remember thinking, God, you know, this Katie woman seems great. Why didn't they make her like a full-time cast member? And then we cut to this scene of her being like, I was like, oh, okay. She botched it. The producers were like, yeah, we're not having this lady as a full-time. Yeah. So they do this whole exercise. And all the Real Housewives are mortified. You can see them. They're like, we are not doing this on camera. They're just sort of like swaying back and forth and sort of moving, but like no one's really doing it. It's only Katie's the only one who's like into it. And then they finally like sit down and now it's time to gossip.
I was cracking up at Amanda though, because they're all looking around like, this is so stupid and crazy. This doesn't make any sense. But Amanda's like, you know, Chinese medicine for me, I lean into it probably more for stress. During my divorce, during that stressful time, I lost everything. I lost a lot. So, God, thank you for Chinese yoga. Rita came in. You stop it. You did not.
So Amanda's like, so how did you all like my Women's Day party? You're welcome, everyone, for being invited. And Katie is like, well, I thought it was amazing. And Nessie is like, well, what did you think? And then Amanda's like, well, I thought it was a lovely party. Thank you so much, me, for inviting me. And obviously, I've not seen another woman lay into another woman like that before in my life. And then that whole layering of the stuff on top of it, it just was so unpleasant. Like, borrowing clothes, that's just a little bitchy for me. But what do I know? I'm just some earnest member of Generation Z.
I guess it's just another thing that kids don't understand. Am I right?
When she was talking about this, I was cracking up because they show the coming this season at the end of last episode, and they should just show Amanda being so nasty with people. And at one point, they're at some castle or something, and she's like, you shut up, you pea brain, you dumb idiot. Just the phrasing cracked me up so much. And that she's like, oh, I've never before seen a woman lay into another woman like that. Crazy, isn't it? And so they're like, yeah, that lady seemed, everyone else is kind of agreeing with her. And Karen's like, well, from my observation, Panthea wears her heart on her sleeve, you know, and she explained everything. And it seemed like she was more loyal to Juliet than Juliet was to Panthea. So for Panthea, maybe it's loyalty. At the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. So she's team Panthea. And as we find out later, it's just because Panthea is at least interesting. You know,
yeah, that's
she's like,
the
she's
only
at least fucking funny. She'll say anything.
But Nessie is not. Nessie is team Juliet. So Nessie is like, well, I would say that Juliet's really loyal. She did dress up like a dinosaur and walk around the best book show in the entire world for 3 hours until she found my booth. That's loyalty right there. And I've known Juliet for years, and Juliet's never been the person to shout over someone else. And when her time comes, she will explain everything.
Yeah, and Karen's like, well, I'm not going to judge Panthea and make her look vulgar. I can't do that. She's like, no, but I don't know Panthea, so I'll continue to judge her. I think she's vulgar in my mind. Thank you. I make cakes.
Nessie's just basically like, yeah, I just think that Juliet needs the floor. They're like, yes, she does. And Karen says, I just hope the girls can come to a good resolve at my dinner party, but I think that Panthea and Juliet are just going to kick off again, so maybe that's just wishful thinking. At which point we now go over to Jimmy Choo and we see Juliet, and she's meeting up with none other than Caroline Stanbury, fresh off the Traitors, at least for us. Traitors hadn't happened with this film, but whatever. She is here, yeah. And she's here to shoot a scene.
She's like, hello, it's me, Caroline. Your store is disgusting. Thank you. I will take a glass of champagne.
So Juliet's like, my good friend Caroline's here from Dubai. We go way back. Caroline was a friend with my husband even before I met Caroline. And you know, I think it was her, Jerry Halliwell, my husband. They would go out to the clubs all the time. And we have a lot of laughs and a lot of history together. One time she came to my house and said, this place looks disgusting. So many laughs that we had that day.
I thought it was funny that she's like, oh, me and this woman, oh, we're so tight. Yeah, the memories. Yeah, my husband knew her. They would go out with Jerry Halliwell. That's not your memory. Yeah. You're trying to make that sound like it's your memory. There was a sense in here of Ladies of London. You remember how that one lady knew, why am I blanking on her name? The main lady, our favorite one.
Caroline.
Was like, oh, yeah, I knew your husband.
Oh, no. New Ladies of London.
This Ladies of London. Yeah, oh, yeah. The newer Ladies of London.
Mm-hmm. Kimmy.
Where she knew the husband and she was more friends with the husband. And we never got to see how that's going to grow into a beautiful flower as the years go on.
I know, seriously. So Caroline's just there to shoot a scene and she's just happy to. And, you know, but Juliet's talking about how her daughter and Yasmin also started university together. Yasmin is Ophelia and Yasmin. Ophelia is Juliet's daughter. Yasmin is Caroline's daughter, as we know. And so they're just like catching up and everything. And basically Juliet's like, well, she's like, I don't know why I'm talking about, you know, I left home at 12 and 12 and a half. And just it's just so different with boarding schools these days. And Caroline's like, well, I left home at 6. I was sent to boarding school and it was terrible. Let me tell you about all the ways I was terrified. They put me in a brown uniform every single day wearing brown. Could you imagine? Hold on one second. My husband is calling really quickly. Barari, Barari. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
It was awful. It was this cold stone building and everyone's shoes. I mean, you'd look at the bottom, no one had red on the bottom. I mean, you can't even find a shoe today without red on the bottom. Just look around you here. It was utter poverty and misery.
If it were anyone else, I would laugh, but it was me, so it was terrible. So,
and Juliet's like, oh my God, you went to boarding school at 6. Go, you were really not loved, girl. I'm joking. Why are you not laughing?
I don't laugh.
So then Julia tells us that she went to music, ballet, drama school. She's like, Lady Diana went there and Jane Seymour went there. And also the British Lady in the Taste of Choice commercials. So, I mean, it's got an amazing history with some of the best training in the world. And we just see like young Juliet being an actress, which is exactly how we'd imagine it to be. Like probably singing songs on a lute at Ren Fairs and stuff.
And now Ophelia's about to leave the nest. So I just want to like grab my children, hold on to them and never let them go. So anyway, do you know Amanda? You know a girl named Amanda? She's like, of course I know Amanda.
I mean, she's doing okay. I mean, no man at this point. So, I mean, how okay can she really be? Am I right? I think she's kind of taking her time. It's probably the first time she's been single, I'm sure. Caroline's like, well, she had one of the biggest divorce settlements in the UK and she did really well. She's an icon.
Yeah. Well, good on her. You know, I suppose if you're going to have to divorce, you want to come out well. She's like, yes.
Exactly. Can I try these in 18 different sizes just because I can, poor person? Thank you.
Well, I guess the only step left for Amanda is to marry a 28-year-old man with no brain and still does not understand where babies come from. Okay, well, it's been fun shooting a scene with you. I'll see you in another 10 years.
Yeah, Caroline's like, well, was the divorce good enough that she could date someone half her age and keep him in fresh clothes and filters? I didn't think so. Nice try, though, Juliet.
So now we go over to the Sabine rooftop bar, and it's time for Nessie and Panthea to have a conversation to get to know each other a little bit. So Nessie's telling us, Panthea's mercurial. She's unpredictable. So I'm going in with a little bit of trepidation. That's why I've chosen public space, because what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, okay. You know, most of the atrocities in the world have happened in public spaces, right?
Yeah.
a lot can happen in public spaces. Don't read the news. So Panthea's like, well, I presume you asked me for lunch because I know that you're very good friends with her and you just wanted to air things out. All right, on game. Go ahead.
Yes, well, Juliet is a good friend of mine, and I saw how upset she was by everything, and then I didn't see you for the rest of the party, and I just thought it'd be nice to get to know you and see if you're just as awful as you seem to be the first time around.
Well, here's the thing. I hate bad vibes, or I hate them, and I left that not...
Meanwhile, she's the one who came in and started shit from the very beginning and then, like, stormed out of the party. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I just hate bad vibes, and I left that night. I didn't want to make a scene, and I was just feeling when somebody's fake, it just triggers me. I just hate fake people. Isn't that right, Ed? Come on, Ed. It was triggering, Ed.
Nessie's like, do you think that she was overly nice? I feel like that's how she is generally every day. She's like, well, she was. You know, I see through it, Juliet, okay? I understand that she can be a very good friend to you, but she has done things to harm me. And for me, betrayal is everything. It's the loyalty and it's the trust. She's like, but you've got to admit you came in guns blazing. It was toxic behavior and she was shocked. Everyone was shocked. You can't just leave a trail of destruction. Do you think it's like beyond Juliet? Like, how come Juliet has that impact on you? Do you have a traumatic backstory that you could use right now?
Because when people lie and they cheat.
They lied and they cheated. You're talking about a dentist. You're talking about a dentist, for Christ's sake.
She's like, I have a loyalty issue. Maybe because my father left when I was 13 and my ex-husband lied every day of my life. I didn't know he had 4 wives and 10 kids. And, you know, 3 months after being pregnant, he got somebody else pregnant. I mean, so forgive me.
And Nessie's just like, oh, what?
Oh, wow.
My husband, I just found out my husband had multiple wives and 80 children. Excuse me for living.
So that's why I don't like liars. So
that's why I don't like when someone takes the dentist that I recommended and then takes their side when I was trying to fight with the dentist about how much they were billing me for cavities.
Before Ed, I got married very young, 21, but that relationship, I thought that was real love, and it all came crashing down. His ex-wife called me to tell me that she's pregnant whilst I had just had a baby. So this guy was a bit phony, and so I felt my world had crumbled, and to be a single mother with a son, I had to keep that smiling, that happy face. And when you see a happy face, you see happy teeth. And when you don't get good teeth, it obviously is going to trigger a lot of trauma. Don't you understand now? Dentists are triggering for me.
Well, it is quite a breath of fresh air to hear somebody speaking their mind in this town. So I'll give you that. And I'm so glad that we're sitting here together. Do you ever wonder what the salad would taste like if it was made out of T-Rex?
Nessie is so uninterested in Panthea. She has no respect for her. And she's like, ugh, this woman's awful. So,
yeah,
but
she
of
really
course,
is.
The way she says, like, I love
your honesty.
I love that you can speak your mind. Her way of saying, I hate this bitch, is saying, I really feel for her. To go from being in love with someone to finding out that they betrayed you to then being a single mother, that is such a huge amount to undertake at such a young age. And now that I've established that, in spite of that, I still don't think it's warranted such a public humiliation of Juliet. She has to let that go.
Clearly, you have some kind of respect for each other. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel the way that you do. So, that said, Karen's hosting a dinner. Would you be willing to come and move on in respect?
And she's like, well, I'll be honest. That I can do. I'll get it off my chest. I mean, listen, let's just agree to disagree because I know I'm right. We can move on. Who cares? Just me. Chill, Panthea.
Yeah, exactly.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now everyone's getting ready for Karen's dinner party, and we go to Isabel restaurant. And Karen is like, no one throws a dinner party like me. When I'm throwing a dinner party, I go all out. Isabel is the perfect place for the dinner party. I love their private room downstairs. They do good caviar. Everything about Isabella is on the tea, baby. And so then she goes in there, and then she promptly rearranges their flower arrangements. She's like, no, put this enormous wall of flowers right in the middle of the table so no one can see over it and look at each other's faces.
There, I've done everything. I love when they do that. They're like, yeah. I did this entire party myself. And they walk in. They're like, I moved a flower.
I do the best parties.
Yeah. Panthea comes in and she's like, oh, my God, what a place. And Karen loves her. She's like, she's funny. She's loud. She's got a lot to say. You know, I like her vibe. I like her energy. I could really see us being friends, but I wouldn't share a dentist with her.
And then Amanda and Juliet are in a car together. And Amanda's like, how are you feeling about tonight? Are you looking forward to it? And she's like, well, obviously I'm a little anxious about my last meeting with Panthea. I mean, there was a lot of shouting. It was shaming. It was pretty shocking, to be honest. And Amanda's like,
well, it's just not conducive to being in a group with elegant women.
It's not. And so she's like, you nailed that on the head. So they're just like, well, maybe you can move on.
But yeah. You know. So blonde Juliet's like, well, I hope we don't have another Jekyll and Hyde moment with her. So now we go back to the restaurant and they arrive and everybody's, you know, giving each other sweet little hellos. And Juliet's wearing this cheetah print dress that kind of is almost like it's a party dress. I thought it was cute. And Panthea's like, oh, of course, Juliet's a bit overdressed as usual. How is overdressed? She's not dressed nicer than anybody else.
Yeah, she looks pretty consistent. So, of course, Karen seats Juliet and Panthea across from each other. And so Panthea's like, she's like, Karen literally has my name on the card opposite Juliet. I don't want to be staring in her eyes the whole time. So then Karen gives a speech saying that she hopes that they can all move forward because it's a sisterhood, blah, 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 blah. So they all clap.
I feel like that's aimed at me. Am I right, girls? Am I right? And they're like, mm-hmm. So now they're making small talk. And someone's like, oh, is that, what kind of fish is this? Does it have the skin on? And Amanda's like, oh, I thought you were talking about this fish on the skin, the sperm facial. All right, ladies. Not that I would know about that. I'm not quite old enough to get one of those.
I've only learned my letters a few days ago. I'm afraid to say I'm 7 years old. So Nessie tells a story about how she met her husband Remy, and she talks about how, you know, like we're celebrating 19 years. I met him when I was 22. We met on a train platform, and then it turned into a date, and the date turned into a brunch, and then brunch turned into drinks, and drinks turned into dinner. And then she's like, your place or mine. And then he came over, and the rest is basically history. And they're all like, whoa, wow. It's always the quiet ones. Look out.
Yeah. Karen is asking Amanda if she's dating, and she's like, I go on dates from time to time when mommy and daddy allow it. And she's just kind of squinting at everybody, which is really funny. And then Karen's like, but any special person? And she's like, well, you know, people are interested in me, of course. That's not an issue. But, you know, I am taking my time, girls.
I did match up on Raya with Peter Davidson. So I've heard that people are shipping us, as they say. So I don't know. It's a young person thing. And
she told us in the first episode that she's been dating the other guy from Wham.
Yes.
Whatever that guy's name is.
The other Wham.
And it's like, you know me.
Andrew Wrigley
always
is his name.
Somebody famous, celebrity, rock stars. You know, the other guy from Wham. That's right. I'll wait until the applause is done.
You know, when I think about my dating life, there's been a lot of erasure. Literally, I've dated all the members of Erasure. I think they're all gay, but it was fun while it lasted.
So Panthea is like, oh, there's a lot of buzz around Manta. She's got two divorces, I've heard. And her husband apparently was worth $100 million. Oh, she got a very good settlement. And some people say 20, some people say 50 million. I mean, you don't really know. Some people are just so clever. I'm the only one that gets out of a marriage and leaves with nothing.
And by the way, what led up to her saying that is that Panthea is talking to Amanda and she goes, well, you've had the experience of being divorced twice. So you definitely know what you don't want. And Amanda just like nods and gives this smile like, you cut fitness. And
yeah,
like,
she's
this
giving
is my
her laser eyes. Like,
yeah, this is Amanda's superpower, is that she can smile and squint her eyes and just give the nastiest, coldest look at someone. And she does it to Panthea about 5 or 6 times in this entire scene here. So then Amanda is like, yes, well, in my divorce, it was tricky. And I kept my daughter's status, you know, to the expense of a lot of things I was doing. And so Panthea's like, well, I heard, I know you don't like rumors, but people do hear rumors. And I heard that you were so clever that you made your ex-husband, because he doesn't have any heirs, he doesn't have any children and stuff, right? And Amanda's just
No, that's not true. That's not true, actually.
Yeah, just staring. She's like, oh, so he does have heirs, does he?
I have 2 stepchildren. Actually, yeah, so that's not true. Oh, I heard the opposite. Well, see, this is why you shouldn't listen to rumors. I heard you made him adopt your daughter. Oh my gosh, you are so gauche. Like, I'm an American, okay?
Yeah.
I'm an American in sweatpants who will probably go get McDonald's french fries after this.
Ugh.
And you are so gauche. Like, I can't. I'm embarrassed.
I am mortified. So Amanda is just giving her this face. Like, I mean, it's so amazing, just this steely-eyed rage face that she's giving. And so then Panthea's like, is that not true, what I heard? Is it not true? Okay, well, at least I said it, everyone. At least I got it out there, because I got out what I heard. There you go. I'm honest. I heard something, and I said it. I reported a report on footy, Panthea. And Amanda's just like, Yeah.
Juliet's like, well, we've all heard the stories, but Panthea's only the one who's going to bring it up to make people uncomfortable at a dinner table. There's just no filter with her. So she's like, well, it's good that I said it, right, guys? And Amanda's like, no. Look, he was the father figure, of course. But no, that story's not true. We have 3 children. I have 3 children. I have 2 stepchildren and 1 child. And she's like, oh, so you're still very good friends with them, even though you divorced their father? really?
And Amanda's like, well, yes, I'm very close to the children. It's hard not to when your age gap is only about 3 months. I mean, it was an amazing birth. So Panthea's like, oh, that's nice. That's really so sweet. Wow. Yeah, well, and she's like, So Amanda's like, if Panthea doesn't know the truth from the untruth because she listens to all the gossip and passes it on, I don't think anyone said anything. I think it's Panthea causing all the trouble, getting attention, gossiping.
It's a bit immature and chavvy, really. She called her a chav. Uh-oh. Yeah. It's not good. It's like a hick, basically.
So Amanda's like, I have a red line when it comes to gossip. It's 100% a red line. I will not listen to gossip, or as I like to call it, careless whispers.
Oh, yeah, she only says she hates gossip because she knows that people gossip about her. I mean, there's no smoke without fire. And Amanda, there's a lot of smoke coming off that one.
I love Panthea raging against fakery when she comes to this party. And she is like, so I heard this rumor and you are so clever the way you got out with that money. Well, I'm so glad. So these are all rumors. And there's, I'm glad you cleared that up. I'm so glad. Now we know the truth. This is wonderful. And then in her confessional, she's like, that bitch, she has the money. And where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's all true. So like, who's the fake one now?
Yeah. And so, of course, Panthea now is like, well, it's the Iranian New Year. So bad vibes out the window. It's a new slate. Let bygones be bygones. Let's move forward. It's you, though. You're the asshole. I love when assholes come on TV and forgive themselves.
I know. They do that all the time. And in fact, she does it right here. Again, she goes, now, if I can just take a moment. I was like, another moment? Okay, sure. She's like, firstly, I would like to apologize, Amanda, because you very kindly invited me to your house that you only have because you divorced 2 times from someone and forced one of them to adopt your child. And I feel like, I don't know, that outpouring at your party, I'm not making excuses, and I'm just the realest person that you know. And, you know, I just say it as it is. And out of everybody at this table, the person that to me was more of a friend, and, you know, that we shared some beautiful memories together, was you, Juliet.
She's like, oh, God, I know you're thinking, this crazy girl, she sees me about now, she's like, I had this out. But it was just, I can't stand the fakeness. Do you understand? And I hate the saying, like, let's agree to disagree. I mean, but in this case, we're going to have to agree to disagree. I mean, look at her. She's in a borrowed dress. I mean, God bless her. God bless. So, you know what? We're never going to pretend to be best friends, but let's just enjoy each other's company for what it is and enjoy the moment. And what will it be? What will it be? I'm forgiven. You're welcome.
I know. Well, that sells that. Shall we move on? I was like, wait, what? You just had the entire bearing the hatchet conversation with yourself.
Yes. And so blonde Juliet's like, I'm happy to move on, but I think you need to take responsibility for the way that you came at me. I mean, that episode that we talked about, you'd said it had been resolved, and then, you know, why we disagreed. It wasn't about one party being right and one party being wrong. It was about a dentist being ripped apart in the public forum. I just can't stand by while dentists are dismembered.
She's like, but I've got something to say. Okay, Mom, no, I've got something to say.
I'm still talking, though. It was a character assassination. And, you know, it was a lot.
Wait, I believe Ronnie, the exact quote was, an emotional bamboozle attack. It was an emotional bamboozle attack, just like in Shakespeare.
Okay, because I'm not a person that's nice, okay? But if someone, you know, I'm a person that I'm nice, right? Like, look, everyone here is like, what a nice person, am I right? But if somebody comes across my family or me, that's it. I see red. Oh, my God. The dentist filled some cavities in your kid's mouth. So her big argument is she sent her kid to the dentist. The kid went in to get his teeth fixed. He had a chipped tooth. He came back without his tooth fixed and said, oh, she didn't have the right dye or whatever, plaster. But she did I did have all these cavities. And then she got pissed and was like, hey, what are you filling all these cavities? I didn't okay you to do cavities. What the hell? So she's accusing the dentist of basically ripping her off. So she goes on social media and lets the dentist have it and calls her a crook or whatever. We don't see the post, but apparently she went on and slandered her all over social media. And Juliet said, that's not cool. This dentist is a nice person. And now she's like, you came for my family with that dentist.
It's like, it's so ridiculous. So then, but then what happens is Juliet is like, that was not 6 years ago, Pinthea. She's like, but Pinthea's like, I see red. She's like, but it was 6 years ago. She's like, you rolled me up. You stood and you said, darling, sweetie, it was so fake. Riled you up, like Juliet walked into the party and said, hello. And Pinthea was like, oh, so we're going to be fake. That's fine. I'm like, she literally just said hello to you.
Yeah. She's like, well, you were so warm when you said hi. And she's like, yeah, I was saying hi. She's like, no, the point is, do you want to move on from here or not? It's like, oh my gosh, 6 years ago. Or I'm sorry that 6 years ago I disappointed you as a friend. Or I'm so, so sorry.
Amanda now has her knife and she's using it as a mirror as she reapplies like pink lip gloss. And she's like, bored, I'm bored. So then Pinthea's like, Juliet, me and you, which it's already, she's like, so Pinthea is pretending like she is a lady of certain distinction, but she's here at this restaurant going, me and you are never gonna be really good friends. It's like, oh God. Amanda is just
putting
sitting there
like, in her purse.
Calming her. I know.
She's like, so tacky.
She can start singing about like, the best little pies and whatever.
Yeah.
whatever the song is.
Let's meet pies in London.
I'm like, whatever the town is.
And Juliet's like, can I finish? She goes, no, because like we're in a group. And Nessie's like, I would like to hear what Juliet has to say, guys. Juliet needs the floor. So she's like, you say that I'm fake, that I make up lies. She goes, you do, but go on then. I love when you speak. Go ahead, speak.
No more heckling.
Exactly. Liar, fake liar. Why don't you be faker? Be faker to me.
Please, people of my young generation are very stressed. We had to go through the pandemic. That's when we got our schooling. Don't stress us out more. Stop heckling.
I love that. No heckling. Please. Juliet's like, what do you want from me? Okay, you came into this party, you degrade me. And she's like, but it's not degrading if you're admitting that at your age you borrow clothes. Why can't we just admit that you borrow clothes?
Juliet's like, oh my. So is there an issue about borrowing clothes? You can borrow these clothes anytime you want. It's like what Duncan said to Macbeth. Take my armor, please.
Well, I've never borrowed clothes in my life. You were literally bragging about stolen plates from the castle 2 seconds
ago. Oh, I know.
Come on. And Juliet's like, well, maybe you should. You'd have a better wardrobe, by the way. I was like, finally, Juliet. Yes. Thank you.
And then Juliet's like, you know, I think that she probably peaked in the 2000s and she's just sticking with it. But like, can we be a bit current? I was like, there we go. Love it.
Yes, finally. I love the transition from like being victimized by this person to like fighting fire with fire. And so Panthea's like, oh, you're an actress, Juliet. This is your Oscar stage. Look at Juliet, everyone, in her borrowed costume. She's like, oh, and there you are, character assassinating me again.
Well, you bar your Instagram likes. She's like, okay, well, what are you talking about? You're going so low. Panthea, do you realize how low you're going? I came here to try and resolve. How can we resolve? So then they just like, they're talking, and they're going at it. And Juliet's like, what is this vendetta you have against me? Okay. And this is like one of these fights where they're going at it. And then like all of a sudden it like pivots to like resolution out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, Juliet gets up to do a storm off and everyone's like, oh God, no, Jesus, you've taken enough of this dinner, you two. Just sit back down. Please don't walk off. Please.
Yeah.
So she comes back in and continues arguing with her standing up. And she goes, okay, then I apologize for letting you down in our friendship, if that's what triggered you. But I'm just struggling. Like, how do I even make this right? And she's like, all right. Well, look, the good bit of you, we've had good bits. Let's just hold our hands, choose the good bits, and try and make this work. Let's hug. One hug across the table. Okay, but it's all good, everybody. We're hugging now.
She's like, I hate fake people. So my answer to this is that let's pretend like the bad stuff isn't there and let's only focus on the good stuff because we're going to have a sincere relationship based off of that. It's literally fakery. So then they just kind of like resolve and they go and they hug. Yeah. And even the wait staff is like, oh, thank God. They're all like laughing and cheering in the background.
So I mean, this is only their second episode. And this Panthea is really obnoxious as fuck. But I mean, she's making stuff move along. I mean, I normally don't like the people on reality shows who are just like, oh, got to move the plot forward. So I'm going to start some shit like every other turn. But I don't know. I was laughing.
I don't like her, but I had no problem with what was happening, if that makes sense. I was like, oh, in this feud, I'm taking Juliet's side because the Panthea is like obviously doing the reality star thing. But like, you know, you need to have someone awful on the shows to root against. So I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Everybody, thank you so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.